If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome to the CPAC 2014 edition live from the Conservative Political Action Conference put on. This is the 50th anniversary edition of CPAC put on by the American Conservative Union in National Harbor, Maryland, right on the Potomac River. This is Radio Free America, live from CPAC, from Radio Row. Duke Brooks here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Very glad that you could be with me today. This is very, very exciting to be here at the premier conservative political event that takes place in this country. I was here last year with Kevin Wade. I'm here right now with Linda, my lovely girlfriend and producer, and we are having a wonderful time. We should be joined any moment now by Michael Smith, who is down in Texas, and I spoke with Michael a few minutes ago. He will be calling in shortly. The chat room is open and ready for business, by the way, for those of you who are listening live. If anyone asks me, what conservatives did you meet today, it would be much easier for me to answer which ones I did not meet today. And I think that that would probably be limited to former President George H.W. Bush and his son, President George W. Bush. That's about it. Every other meaningful, important, and known conservative in this country I have met today. It has been just unbelievable. I was speaking with Rick Santorum a few minutes ago. Almost all the luminaries in the conservative world are right now in the Reagan dinner. You will probably hear some things in the background. It's right across the corridor from Radio Row. This is right where we are. Later this evening, we will be hearing from Kevin Wade. We should be hearing from Michael Berryman in Texas shortly. Rick Perry, Governor Rick Perry of Texas, was here earlier today, and I spoke with his administrative aide, Jeff Henson, and I mentioned Michael's name, and Jeff said, sure, I know Michael. Listen, if you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the chances are, and you're a Republican, which means you have your head screwed on correctly, the chances are that you know Michael Berryman. He is as involved in Delaware politics as Republican politics as Linda and I are involved in he is involved in Texas politics as much as Linda and I are involved in Delaware Republican politics. So we'll be hearing from him shortly. As a matter of fact, speaking of Michael, why don't we go ahead and bring him in right now. Michael, my friend, how are you, buddy?
Oh, Duke, I am doing good. Just calling in, didn't get to hear your opening, but, man, first of all, I want to thank you for being at CPAC 2014, not only for you and Linda to get away and go do something fun like this, but representing our company, mine and yours company, that we're building, Conservative Nation Media, man. I am just so I'm so blessed to have you as the president and general manager of our company that it's not even funny.
Thank you, my buddy. We have a fantastic location on Radio Row here at CPAC. Our Conservative Nation Media banner is up for the world to see, and I should be posting some video of this show that I'll begin shooting in a couple of minutes here. I've got a pretty good video camera. We've got our banner set up. We've got all of our gear. Linda is here with me riding shotgun and making sure that I don't screw up the show. Now, you may have heard me say a couple of minutes ago that, and you and I talked about the fact that Governor Rick Perry was here, spoke with Jeff Henson, his administrative aide. They know you, obviously, because you are a kind of a big guy down there in Texas politics, but you mentioned when we spoke on the phone a short while ago that there is breaking news from the Texas political scene. Fill us in on that.
Well, there is. Well, you know, on the heels of the Texas primary is CPAC. We just had our Texas primary, and we'll go back after you get a chance to talk about CPAC, but let me give you the breaking news, because there's a lot of it, and you're probably hearing a lot of it in CPAC, because we're starting the election season here in Texas, and the news of the Tea Party's demise is greatly exaggerated.
Yes,
but the breaking news is in the Texas State Comptroller's race. It was a four-way race. The top three candidates were Glenn Hager, who was my candidate, and most of the Tea Party's and grassroots conservatives candidate. Harvey Hildebrand, who I vetted, but I really don't know a whole lot about him. And Deborah Medina, who surprisingly, Duke, ran in the Republican primary 4 years ago for governor and didn't make it. She's a wildly popular figure. I know Miss Medina. She's a good lady. We honestly kind of expected her we thought that it might be a runoff between Deborah Medina and Glenn Hager. Deborah Medina came in a distant third, which, first of all, that was the shocking news from Texas Tuesday. But the shocking news is within the last 30 minutes, Harvey Hildebrand has withdrawn from the runoff election for Texas State Comptroller. And Glenn Hager is, and the campaign's already called me. I've already spoken to them. It's official. Glenn Hager is the nominee for the Republican Party for Texas State Comptroller, which means that Glenn Hager is our next Texas State Comptroller, because as anyone knows that is interested in politics and wears the hats that we wear, the important election in Texas is the Republican primary. The second most important is a runoff, if there is one. The general election is just finalizing whatever we choose to do in our Republican primary.
And there will be a couple of runoffs this year, correct?
Just one. Just the one, May 27th. The way it works in Texas, and I don't know that much about other states' internal politics. In Texas, you have to have 50 plus one in order to win a primary. If you don't have that plus one, and you come in first. Let's say you come in first at 49.9%, and your next challenger comes in at 28%. Let me give you real time examples. The Texas Lieutenant Governor's race. Dan Patrick comes in at 41%. Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst comes in at 28%. Todd Staples at 17%. Jerry Patterson at 12%. That's an automatic runoff because nobody attained the 50 plus one. So we now have a runoff between Dan Patrick, as you know, is my candidate.
Michael, let me interrupt you for just a moment. I don't necessarily want to brag, but Rick Santorum has just walked past our table here at Radio Row. He is a great guy. He is a great guy. But anyway, I'm sorry. This is going to happen from time to time. John Lott, the well-known conservative author, primarily of well-known for a book that is called More Guns, Less Crime, in which he conducted a very thorough statistical analysis of the subject of guns and crime. He walked by here a moment ago. We might be able to get him on the air. Sorry to interrupt you. It's going to be like this all night, Mike. But anyway, go ahead.
No, and that's what we want, Duke. But anyway, so that's how we end up in a runoff here in Texas. So, Glenn Hager, who was running for state comptroller, and we thoroughly expected a solid second place, not a strong first, which we got, you know, he was 100 votes shy of meeting the threshold and not even having to go into a runoff. And that's why Mr. Hildebrand has politely bowed out. I know that David Dewhurst won't do the same, but you've got to look at numbers. Dan Patrick got, we were expecting a tie in our primary with David Dewhurst, the sitting lieutenant governor. We were expecting a tie, around 32% each. And we ended up with 41%. We came out of early vote with 52% with actual day votes cast. We ended up 41% to David Dewhurst's 21%. And so we now find ourselves in a runoff. But if you're David Dewhurst, the numbers that you have to be looking at are all the numbers combined that did not vote for him, which is 72%. That would be the 17 that Todd Staples got and the 12 that Jerry Patterson got. Where do those votes go? Well, they're anti-Dewhurst, Duke. I got caught up on something. So if you're a David Dewhurst, you have to wonder to yourself, am I bound to win the runoff? No, he's not. But he's, unlike Harvey Hildebrand, he is unlikely to withdraw from the race, even with the writing being on the wall. Did I lose you? Hello?
Michael, I am back with you. I'm sorry about that. I just have too many screens open at once here. I was asking you, what do you think of David Dewhurst? Do you think he's going to do the best job? Okay, I'm not sure what happened to Michael. I hope that Michael will be calling back in a couple of moments. We were speaking about Texas politics. We are live right now from CPAC 2014. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. We are very, very excited to be here from CPAC. Speaking of Michael, you're probably aware that we have added a new show to conservativenationmedia.com, and it is called The Michael Berryman Show, and it airs on Sundays as in Michael's old time slot, which is 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com. It is immediately before American by Design with Bing Fisher. So we have our two heavyweights on Sunday, and you really have got to listen in. You know, you might not live in Tennessee. You might not live in Texas. I spoke with Rick Perry's administrative aide today, and I told him that Linda and I were extremely interested in moving to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And like a true Lone Star State guy, he said to me, y'all come on down. You got to love it. I mean, Texas is just so – it is so friendly. The first time I ever saw Governor Rick Perry on television, the first thing that he ever said was, howdy. And I thought to myself, okay, this guy is obviously a down-to-earth guy. It's very, very clear that he is a Texan. And I really like Rick Perry. I think he would have made a great president. Maybe he will be president again. I don't know if I was embarrassed for him or if I was concerned, but you may recall in the summer of 2012 when the Republican candidates were holding debates, and there were quite a few of them, and Rick Perry was asked which federal executive department he would eliminate if he were elected president. And these are departments such as the Department of Commerce, Department of Education, Department of Energy, Those are the federal executive departments. Obviously, the Pentagon, Department of Defense is one of them, Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Health and Human Services, et cetera. And I felt really bad for Governor Rick Perry that he could not name which of the departments he would eliminate. I can tell you which ones I would eliminate. I would eliminate the U.S. Department of Commerce. The U.S. Department of Commerce basically serves as something like a chamber of commerce for American business that wants to do business overseas. Now, should this country be promoting American businesses overseas? Well, the way I look at it is that if American companies want to do business overseas, they should go ahead and promote themselves. I'm very happy when we export things, obviously, but I guess I just don't think that it is up to the American taxpayers to be doing advertising, marketing, and overseas promotion for American companies. Those companies really can do that for themselves. As far as the Department of Education is concerned, they have never taught a single child, and the Department of Education is a drain on the economy, and it is definitely not helping things. Hey, I'm at CPAC. I'm surrounded by conservatives. I can say what I really think. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, goombye. It's constant. There are so many of them. In any event, we are about 15 minutes into this edition of Radio Free America, live from CPAC on conservativenationmedia.com. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, more on the country's premier political event from which we're broadcasting live and your calls. So don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Jesse!
Go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Listening to Duke Books on conservativenationradio.org.
So tell, baby, tell your true heart.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here, broadcasting live, netcasting live, internet casting, whatever it is that we do on the internet, live from CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference 2014. This is the 50th anniversary, and we are, this is being put on by the American Conservative Union, 50 years in a row of good conservatives right here, and it is wonderful to be surrounded by great people who care about our country as much as I do and as much as you do. Now, Michael Berryman was with us a few minutes ago. We will be joined live here, and it's going to sound like a phone call, but it is going to be live, and we've got a special guest. We're going to be bringing him in just a moment. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America, live from CPAC 2014 on conservativenationmedia.com. We have met today. It is amazing. I spoke with Dinesh D'Souza earlier today. As you are aware, Dinesh D'Souza is the conservative producer and director of the film 2016, Obama's America. I saw the film. I really thought that if enough people saw that film, that the president would not be reelected. But I suppose, as Lenin once pointed out, it is not who casts the votes, it is who counts the votes. And I believe that we have a serious issue with that in our country right now. But more on that later. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined live on air by a special guest. And in any event, Dinesh D'Souza was wonderful to speak with today. I met and spoke with Rick Santorum. I spoke with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West several times. What a great guy. This place is just filled with some of the most prominent names in American conservative politics today. Our number is 718-305-7176. And we are live at CPAC. Kevin Wade will be joining us in a short while. Kevin, as you know, was a candidate for the U.S. Senate in Delaware in 2012. Sadly, he was not able to beat Tom Carper because Tom Carper has run elections 14 times in Delaware, and he has never lost. So this is a... This is a very, very serious issue. Virtually every well-known American conservative was here today. I'm going to have a list of them for you very, very shortly. Michael McCarthy will be joining us in a short while. In fact, here he is right now. Michael is the author of The Noah Option. Michael, go ahead. You are on the air with us. You're live, Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Mike McCarthy, author of The No Option, and I'm happy to be here at CPAC.
All right. Very fine. Now, I don't think we're picking up, Michael. I'm not really sure why that is, but...
How about now?
Now, much better. Much better. Thanks very much for being with us. Michael, tell us about your book, The Noah Option, and the new one that you've got coming out.
Well, I was concerned about the direction our country was going, and I decided one good way of illustrating the principles is to show people what it would look like, daily life, when the government controls everything. And so I started writing a novel where I showed ordinary people and how their lives are affected by government controls, anywhere from people who are the auto mechanic that you take your car to the dry cleaner, and just projecting out with the current trends of the kinds of regulations and controls we're seeing, how that would affect their lives and how it chokes their businesses down to the point where they can't hire people anymore and they have to lay off. I also took my protagonist is a bioscientist by the name of Grace Washington, an entrepreneur who invents seeds that are so productive they help the potential to end world hunger. But, of course, the government and the green environmental groups don't want to end world hunger. They think
that would
starvation
throw a wrench
is a good
into,
thing.
Yeah, that would throw a wrench into their gears, and they wouldn't know what to do about it. So they figure, all right, let's put a stop to this. It's just
exactly
the way the government thinks about things.
Just the way they roll. So they try to shut her down with legal injunctions, and she finds a way around that. And then they finally arrest her on false charges and put her into a televised show trial, Soviet-style show trials.
There you go.
But she, using her wits, outwits them. She follows a moral purpose. There's a, in the plot of my book, there's a famine going on in one country in Africa, and the government's trying to stop her from shipping her seeds over there to end the hunger, end the famine, and she finds a way to sneak around them and outwit them and get the seeds over there to do the right thing that most ordinary people like you and I would want to do. But, of course, the government has their own nefarious purposes and wants to shut her down.
They do. They do. I, you know, one of the Thomas Jefferson once said something along the lines of, it seems to be the natural course in the human race for government to gain ground and for personal liberty to yield. It seems that there is something in human nature that people want to tell. There goes Lieutenant Colonel Alan West right now. That this is a luminary radio row here, Michael. What a terrific guy he is. But it's,
I got a chance to meet him last year.
Yeah,
he's great.
He is
great
a wonderful guy. I love him. It just seems that there is a component in human nature that wants to tell other people what to do.
Exactly. And I have one of my characters talk about that, to say that one of the most dangerous things on this earth are busybodies with power.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we're getting in this government, and that's what I show happening in my book,
Busybodies
with Power.
Once said that nothing fills his heart with as much fear as the idea of someone who is bound to do him a good favor. I mean, there are just too many busybodies. Tell us about the next book. You've got a new one coming out now, correct?
Okay, well, in this book, The No Option, it follows the course of events through to where there's an economic collapse in America, and people band together to protect their families in communities called ARCs. So in the sequel, which is called The Rainbow Option, it follows the little biblical story of Noah and the flood, and then the rainbow signaled the end of the flood when it was safe to come out again. So after the collapse, people have had enough. They've had lawlessness and anarchy and gangs and starvation, such as we're seeing the long bread lines now in Venezuela. It can happen here. There's a rich country that's can't even buy food, even though they're awash in oil.
Communism can't feed itself, and they're being led by, you know, in, as they say, in capitalism, there's never enough money, but in communism, there is never enough food.
Yes.
And Venezuela has been run by these Marxist thinkers for the last 10, 15 years.
Exactly.
What do you expect? That's what, you know.
So some people will tell me, well, I'm painting a picture that's too unrealistic. And I say,
you're
look,
not.
It's happening. It's right there in Venezuela.
That's
They're
right.
Lining up to buy. They can't feed their families. So anyway, it shows in the aftermath of the collapse and the rainbow option that finally people get it together and they say, enough is enough. And they say, the covenant, the rainbow is a symbol of a covenant.
Yeah.
So my hero and heroine say, okay, here's the covenant. This flood of, it was a flood of coercion and control, and it was not sent by God. This was created by ourselves. We allowed this government to get runaway powers and coerce us. And so we want you to sign a covenant that says, we won't do it again. We will go back to constitutional limited government with enumerated powers, as such as we're supposed to have in our Constitution.
Under Article 1, Section 8. Yep.
Sign up for that. And then the hardworking people who fled and went into these art communities to protect themselves, but who are now badly needed to rebuild the country, are willing to come out if the rest of you sign a covenant that says, I won't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rainbow covenant. That's
yeah.
the rainbow option that I show in my story.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a tale of survival there where they're trying to survive, and then, of course, they're having to fight their own government, which continues to try to control them and sending citizens into what they euphemistically call American prosperity camps.
Oh, boy.
Which are like detention camps or
that's a great name.
FEMA camps.
Very
or
good. Good for you. Well, let me ask you this. What line of work are you in? What do you do?
Well, I'm semi-retired. I've been a business consultant all my life,
mm-hmm.
and advised people, but primarily manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always admired all the hard work that goes into manufacturing.
Yeah,
people don't appreciate that all the ingenuity and goes into manufacturing things, and that when government starts to try and control it all, of course,
Central control never works.
The invisible hand works better.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So everything from this you've got a plastic
drinking
water bottle.
Yeah, right. Red alert.
There's somebody on a third shift in a factory doing plastic injection molding who's sweating and worrying about getting the dimensions right
mm-hmm.
for something that you and I take for granted.
That's right.
But there's a lot of engineering and hard work and guys and women on a third shift producing this thing,
mm-hmm.
and these are the heart and soul of America, and we're betraying them by controlling it all away and
regulating
away the jobs.
That's right. Someone had to design this. Someone had to make the mold, but they had to make more than one because you don't make these things one at a time. Somebody had to decide what kind of plastic to use and why to use that kind of plastic. Somebody had to design the logo on it. This one says Red Alert Politics. You know, that it is a lot.
Exactly.
Hundreds of people
have involved in this, and they all get shut down with excessive government control.
We take the idea of the assembly line for granted. But 100 years ago, when Henry Ford first began manufacturing cars that way, that was about as radical an industrial idea as the world had ever seen at the time.
Exactly. And that's part of my field now when I consult with manufacturing companies. It's called lean manufacturing,
mm-hmm.
which, ironically, we now borrow from Toyota production. It used to be called the Toyota production system, but when you ask Toyota where they got it from, they say, "Oh, we got it from Henry Ford. We went all the way back to the first Henry Ford factory
right.
that you just mentioned,
yeah.
And learned from him and learned from Deming, and we just
yep.
copied what you all did.
Deming.
So you're coming to us to learn. We came
yeah.
to you to learn."
Deming was an American businessman, and I think he was a university professor that had some radical ideas about quality control.
He and another gentleman named Shewhart worked at Bell Labs, became the quality advisors during
yeah.
World War II,
yeah.
and they helped unleash this flood of production that won the war for us.
Absolutely.
And then after the war, it's like they were brushed aside,
that's
said, oh,
right.
we don't need
yeah.
to listen to you anymore.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But the Japanese said they realized that
he found
that
a perfect
was,
laboratory
that
there.
Was how we won the war. So they would say, we want to know your secrets, so we'll listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought him over there, and they studied what Ford was doing. They studied what Shewhart and Deming were doing and replicated it. And, of course, the rest is history. They blew us away on quality and so forth and the higher quality product.
I think we're fighting back now. I think we are. Let me ask you this. Where are your books published and where can people get them?
Well, The No Option is out on Amazon. You can go to my website, thenoahoption.com, and there's a link there on the ordering page. It'll take you straight to the Amazon page. There's also a link there that'll take you straight to the Kindle page. It's
mm-hmm.
out on Kindle as well.
Good.
And anybody who is willing to send me an email, Mike McCarthy at thenoahoption.com, and if you'll put CPAC Advance Order in the subject line, I can bill you when this new book comes out next month in April and make sure that it's an autographed copy. So that's my CPAC price for you, $15 plus shipping
Wonderful.
And handling.
Michael, thank you for stopping by. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with somebody who appreciates American ingenuity and know-how
Absolutely.
And how we've got to roll back this government flood of coercion that's choking it.
Yes, we do. Thanks very much for coming by, my friend.
You're welcome.
Have
Thank
a
you
great
for having
evening,
me here.
Sir. Thank you so much. All righty. From one mic to another, let's go back to Michael Berryman. Michael, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm so
I'm sorry that we lost you somehow.
No, it was me. My cell phone died out of power. But no, that was a great interview. I'm gonna email Michael and the nooption.com.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mike McCarthy is a great guy. Now, let me ask you, if you will stand by for one moment, we're going to take care of a little bit of business here and then get to you right again, right on the other side of this top set, okay? So just stand by. Now then, we are about 27 minutes now before the top of the hour. This is Radio Free America. Live at CPAC 2014 on conservativenationmedia.com. Just when you think you have heard everything, I mean, we all go through moments like this, right? Just when you think you've heard it all, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. I have a feeling that that may be happening very soon. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That is where you'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. More with Michael Berryman and your calls coming up right after this, so stay right where you are.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Happy holidays, everybody. This is Brad Paisley for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. When you're traveling during the holidays and see somebody who's had too much to drink about to get behind the wheel, well, get those keys and save a life. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver.
Public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Yes, indeed. A very good sentence. More than an academic question, I have never understood what it is with the liberals that feel that patriotism is something that they simply don't owe the one of the only countries in the world that will allow them to carry on in the reckless, senseless, and mindless way that characterizes modern American liberalism. It is absurd. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Let me bring in my very good friend and partner, Michael Berryman, who is with us again live from somewhere deep in the heart of Texas. Michael, how you doing again, buddy?
Oh, Duke, I'm doing well. Sorry about my phone dropping off. I ran out of juice. You know, we've got so much to talk about. You're at CPAC 2014 representing Conservative Nation Media, which in and of itself is a show of its own, but it's on the heels of the Texas primary, and there's a lot of news out of that. The mainstream media is reporting the demise of the Texas, or of the Tea Party. You know, everybody wants to measure the Tea Party against what we do in Texas, because we're a very red state. I live in Tarrant County, the reddest county of all counties in the entire country. But they cite two races coming from the primary, which we'll discuss here at your convenience. But they fail to look at all of the other races where we made huge gains. Tea Party is alive and well, I'm happy to report, in Texas. You're this weekend at CPAC. Next weekend, I'm going down to San Marcos for a huge Tea Party event. Wayne Dupree, Alice Linehan, all kinds of people, all kinds of conservatives from all over the country are flying in for this event, Patriots for Freedom Rally, down in San Marcos. I will be speaking. They called me this morning and said, Michael, we'd like you to speak. Most particularly, we'd like you to put on your cowboy boots, your kilt, your cowboy hat, and paint your face like the Texas flag, because that's what I'm known for around here. If you've got a minute here, since I am from Texas and you and I are partners and we're half-based in Texas and half-based in Delaware, I thought I might share with y'all what my statement would be at that rally.
Well, I definitely want to hear that, but if you can bear with me for a moment, we have a very, very famous person from the entertainment industry who is about to join us on the air. Can you stand by, Michael?
Duke, this is your show. I can do whatever you tell me to do.
Okay, pal, just stand by. We will pick you up again in a moment. But now I want to welcome Victoria Jackson to Radio Free America live at CPAC. Victoria, how are you doing?
I'm good. I wish I was there with you.
I'm so happy to finally have you on the air. We tried so many times, but I know that there were phone problems in the neck of the woods where you live, and I wish you were up here at CPAC.
Yeah, well, I went before once, and it was very fun to be with like-minded people. Are you having a good time?
I am having a wonderful time. About the only prominent conservatives that I can think of that have not been here today are the both former President Bush, the senior and the younger. They're not here, but Rick Perry was here, Rick Santorum was here, Colonel Allen West was here, Governor Christie was here, Governor Rick Perry, as I mentioned. It has just been an absolute cavalcade of stars, and I'm very, very honored to be here, and I'm honored to be talking to you. I hope that things are going well for you, and I hope that you're not disheartened in the conservative movement. How are you feeling about things? Are you optimistic that we're going to be able to take our country back somehow?
Well, I just watched Ted Cruz's speech from CPAC on YouTube, and I am in love with him, and he encourages me. I'm like, yes, if he was the president, we could fix everything.
I think you're right about that. It you know, everyone here has given a great performance. Reince Priebus, who was the chairman of the Republican National Committee, when I heard him speak yesterday, he was sounding like a conservative. Dinesh D'Souza gave a fantastic speech earlier today. Dinesh D'Souza was born in India, but he's an American citizen and he loves our country. There isn't any question about it. So I am just very, very excited to be here. Now, like me, you are a conservative. You probably had to keep that under wraps when you were working in the entertainment business, right?
Well, actually, I was not political when I was in my 20s and I was working in L.A. and New York in show business. I wasn't aware of any political things. I knew Reagan was defeating communism and around the world, and the Berlin Wall was coming down, so I was like, felt safe. And it wasn't until my late 30s I started to pay attention, probably around the time Clinton said it depends what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah, that's kind of an eye-opener, isn't it?
Yeah, and then, of course, when Obama appeared on the scene, it was my political awakening, and I just got, like, passionate about trying to tell Americans what the truth is, because they just seemed blind and deaf and dumb, and the media wasn't telling them the truth. So I took it upon myself to use my fading SNL spotlight to put the light on the, you know, the truth.
Well, that is a very hard thing to do, especially for someone that works in the entertainment industry. It is just very, very difficult. There was a panel here earlier today at CPAC that was led by the fellow who produced Dinesh D'Souza's movie, 2016, Obama's America, and that included Fred Thompson, the former Tennessee senator and famous actor. And Hollywood is left-wing. There is absolutely no question about it. Now, what activities are you involved in now that promote the cause of America and conservatism in general? What are you doing?
Well, I just recently pulled papers to run for office for my first time.
Wow. What position are you looking for?
Well, I just moved to Tennessee, and I've settled down. My husband's retiring, and I'm an empty nester for the first time and have some time on my hands. And I've been encouraging people to run for office who are Tea Party people and conservatives, and I keep telling them, run for office. We need people like you. And I thought, I'm a hypocrite if I don't do it. It's not pleasant. It's I've only been in it for like a month, and it's frightening. The newspaper is doing stories and embracing myself to what the liberal media is going to say, and, you know, well, already the internet's attacking me. But the cool thing is I'm learning how the process works. I'm jumping in, and I want to encourage other regular folk and moms and grandmas and to jump into the process, because we the people should be running the country, not politicians, not career politicians. And so I have my real job, which is entertainment. I have two movies coming up. I'm doing in April and May. I just did stand-up with Joe Piscopo. I'm doing stand-up comedy with John Lovitz, April 26th in Michigan. But that's my real career. So I'm not going to be a career politician. I'm just a concerned, passionate, conservative Tea Party lady. And so I'm running for commissioner of my county, and there's 24. There's two from each district. So I'm starting at a small kind of a responsibility. Basically, they just vote on the budget, and the county is $500 million in debt, like the government, the federal government, and I want to encourage them to quit raising taxes. And instead of raising taxes to pay the debt, I want them to cut waste and sell assets. And I'm fighting Common Core. I went to the Capitol 2 days ago to support anti-Common Core legislation. And I'm really involved with the textbooks. Kids are reading propaganda, lies, anti-American textbooks right now. It seems like the government, you know, wants to take over the minds of the children now that they've taken over health care and everything else.
Of course they do. Of course they do. They are liberals, Victoria, and liberals want to control everything. Now, my partner and the founder of our company, Michael Berryman, is on the line, and he wants to say hello to you, so let me bring him in, and then we're going to be speaking with a very special guest. So stand by, Victoria. Here's Michael. Michael, you're on the air with Victoria Jackson. How are you?
Well, thank you much, Duke, for bringing me in. This is your show, and I appreciate you bringing me in. Ms. Jackson, and listening to your interview with my partner, Duke Brooks, you said something about winding down from SNL and all of that. Let me tell you something. I've posted your videos since those days in our circles. You are still a star, Ms. Jackson, and the grassroots love you.
Oh, thank you so much, Councilman.
I'm no councilman. And, oh, by the way, Commissioner of the county, that is a very important job. Thank you very much.
Yes, it is.
You know, as we would say down here in Texas, for putting your balls up on the chopping block.
Oh.
Oh, that exactly describes it.
All righty. Michael and Victoria, I am about to speak with Mr. John Lott. We're going to take a quick break. But, Michael, I'm going to put you on hold. Victoria, thank you so much for calling in, and I wish you the best of luck down there, and I'm pretty sure that you and I will be meeting at some point very soon.
Thank you, Duke, and thanks for what you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Thanks very much, Victoria. Wonderful. All righty, we are going to take a very quick break, and in a moment, we're going to be speaking live here at CPAC with author John Lott. He is the author of very, very well-known book that liberals absolutely despise that is called More Guns, Less Crime. So stand by. I do want to tell you one or two things. As you are probably aware, every week, we start off the work week at conservativenationmedia.com every Monday in a very big way. It's called Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Now, even if you're not from the volunteer state, as you're aware, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. More Radio Free America live from CPAC with my special guest John Lott coming up right after this, so don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them. because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back to Radio Free America live from CPAC 2014, just outside Washington, D.C. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-305-7176. I am very honored to bring to conservativenationmedia.com Mr. John Lott. John is an economist, statistician, and the author of a tremendous book that is called More Guns, Less Crime. John, welcome to Radio Free America. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Now, your book undoubtedly, and it's not the only one that you've written, but More Guns, Less Crime undoubtedly has incensed liberals and leftists all over the country, if not all over the world, because they really despise the idea of the armed, law-abiding citizen that can protect himself. What sort of things have you heard from people since the book has been published? It's about 5 years old, five, 6 years old?
No. Well, the first edition came out in 1998, second edition came out in 2000, and then the third edition came out in 2010. So the third edition has about 300 pages more material than the first one did, but you know, the notion is pretty simple. Just you can deter criminals with higher arrest rates or higher conviction rates or longer prison sentence, that a would-be victim might be able to go and defend themselves, makes it riskier for criminals to go and commit crimes. And, you know, police are extremely important in stopping crime. I think they're probably the single most important factor. But I think something the police recognize themselves, and that is they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's been committed, and that raises the question about what people should do when they're having to front a criminal by themselves, and simply telling them to behave passively isn't very good advice.
Well, as they say, when every second counts, the police are only minutes away. And if you are confronted with a violent criminal, especially if it's inside your own home, to me it seems to be the most reasonable, natural, and normal thing in the world for a law-abiding citizen to be able to defend themselves. Why do you think the liberals don't want American citizens to have that ability?
Well, I think one issue that most distinguishes liberals and conservatives is the issue of gun control, even more than abortion or taxes. I think a lot of it has to do with whether you trust individuals or the government to go and make decisions. So on things like health care and what have you, Democrats believe that the government should be the one who makes those decisions, not individuals. And you know, whether you trust somebody with a weapon, in a sense, is probably the ultimate question in terms of whether you trust individuals or not. So you know, I think that's a lot of what's going on there. But I believe they think that they're really trying to make people safer. Unfortunately, I think the reverse is true. You know, you can go to our website, crimepreventionresearchcenter.org, and you'll see, for example, that all the countries in the world that have adopted gun bans have seen increases in murder rates. There's not one single time where you can look at crime data both before and after a gun ban's been put in place and not see often extremely large increase, you know, 6, 7, 8-fold increase in murder rates right after bans have been imposed. And there's a simple reason for that, and that is when you ban guns, and this is true for gun control laws generally, it tends to be the most law-abiding good citizens who obey those rules and not the criminals, and that to the extent that you disarm law-abiding good citizens and not criminals, you actually increase crime rates to make it easier for the criminals to commit crime. Hey, let me just put it this way. One thing, easy way of thinking about it is, would you put a sign on your house that says that your house is a gun-free zone? My guess is nobody would do that. I've done lots of debates. I've never run into a gun control advocate that would put a sign like that in front of their home. And the reason is pretty obvious, is that you're not going to scare off criminals who say, oh, well, geez, I just can't take the gun in there. In fact, it probably has the opposite effect. They probably think that it's a magnet for them because they know that they can crime and the victims will be less able to defend themselves.
Well, that is very obvious to people like you and I. I don't understand why it is not obvious to the liberal left. They just insist on control. They often hold up England, occasionally Japan, as places where the citizens are not allowed to own their own firearms. Of course, my response to them is something like, well, in England, even the police do not have firearms. But
I would
Japan,
think a little bit different.
Kind of an anomaly, I think, isn't it?
Right. I guess what I would make is a little bit different point. I mean, it's true England has a lower murder rate right now than the United States does, but it actually had an even lower murder rate relative to the United States before they had different gun control laws. When they had a ban on handguns, murder rates increased quite substantially by about 50%. And when they had their first gun control laws back in 1920, they had a substantial increase in murder rates. I mean, it's hard to believe, but in London, for example, in 1900, before they had any gun control laws, you had about 8.5 million people. Gun ownership was extremely widespread, but you had a total of 2 gun murders. You had 5 armed robberies. Places differ in lots of different ways. And whatever explains the differences, and we could talk about that, but whatever does, when you made it so that law-abiding citizens couldn't own guns, things got worse. And I think that's the basic point I would try to make there.
Australia, I think, is seeing the same thing, aren't they?
Well, Australia hasn't banned guns. They had licensing and registration. And they also had a large buyback of guns in 96 and 97. I don't think, armed robberies increased substantially. Murder rates were pretty much constant. The interesting thing with Australia, you had this big buyback, reducing the number of legal guns in the country by about a third, but then people were able to go out and buy guns again, and the gun ownership rate has gone back up to about what it was before the buyback. And if their theory is right, what you should have seen is an immediate drop and then an increase over time in murder rates and firearm suicides and other things, then you definitely don't observe that pattern.
John, thank you so much for being with us tonight, and I hope you're having as good a time at CPAC 14 as I am.
Well, thanks. If people are interested to get more information, they go to crimepreventionresearchcenter.org. It's crimepreventionresearchcenter.org, and a lot of the things that we were just talking about, they can get more information there. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, John. All right. That was John Watt. John is the author of More Guns, Less Crime, and very, very happy to have had him on the air. Now, we are going to take a quick break and check on the news from Talk Radio News Service. Justin Duckham is sitting in tonight for Jeff Holtzman. I had the opportunity to meet Jeff Holtzman and Justin in person here at Radio Row. Very, very interesting and a great thing. So Talk Radio News Service news is coming up. Take care of a little bit of business. More of your calls coming up right after that, so stay right where you are.
Coming to you every hour on the hour. The weather's fine, but there may be a media shower.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good afternoon. For the Talk Radio News Service, I'm Justin Duckham. The U.S. added 175,000 jobs last month, but the gains had little impact on the country's unemployment rate, which rose slightly to 6.7%. Weather-wise, it was a brutal month for most of the country, but despite the major snowstorm, the rate of job growth increased from both December and January. House Republicans said on Friday that the IRS has agreed to turn over emails from former IRS official Lois Lerner. The announcement comes just 2 days after Lerner appeared before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee and for the second time declined to testify after invoking her Fifth Amendment right, which protects herself from self-incrimination. And President Barack Obama spoke at Coral Reef High School in Miami, Florida Friday to emphasize the importance of education funding on the overall economic well-being for the U.S.
That's why we're working on what we call an opportunity agenda, to create more jobs and train more workers with new skills.
Justin Duckham, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Radio Free America, live from CPAC 2014 on the conservativenationmedia.com. We're joined once again by Michael Berryman. Michael, well, you heard what John Lott had to say, and, it's a sad state of affairs when you have to use statistics to prove what everyone with common sense already knows. And this is just obvious to people like you and I. But there was John with the statistics to prove that when people own guns, there is less crime. The liberals don't want anybody to know that.
Well, that's absolutely right, Duke. I would have loved to have asked him to put out Texas statistics since we've had our concealed carry. Crime has went down. And, we've got our buddy John Hill, my dad, is actually on the line with us if he wants. He knows a lot more about this than I do. But, John was a great interview. Let me just say, having being there on Radio Row and having Victoria Jackson coming out of a break and then having John Lott, my God, Duke, you are rocking and rolling there at CPAC.
Well, I'll tell you what, pal, if I had not been a little more starstruck today, I see Rick Santorum's son, who is a Citadel cadet, walking past us right now. The Citadel, of course, in Charleston, South Carolina, so that makes him a bulldog. And I know that because my dad went to the Citadel. But it is just one very serious GOP luminary, one after another here, and conservative luminaries. It is just wonderful. We are expecting to hear from Kevin Wade. He should be calling in any moment or perhaps actually arriving here. But in any event, I am becoming more and more encouraged all the time that we conservatives may be able to take our country back and restore it to what its actual promise and get us back on the right track. And there are an awful lot of conservatives here that are saying the same thing. What do you think? Do you think we've got a chance at doing this, or do you think that the liberals are going to use their same old tactics of lies, distortion, propaganda, and voter fraud in order to achieve their means? What do you think?
Well, you know, that's not a simple yes or no answer. In fact, it's, Duke, it's a yes and yes answer. Yes, the Democrats are going to continue to lie, cheat, and steal. And I'll back that up with proof here in just a second. But at the same time, do we have a shot? Yes, we do. You're there at CPAC. You got to hear Ted Cruz speak live. I listened to his YouTube video from his address there at CPAC, I guess, yesterday. Ted Cruz is absolutely right. He's a breath of fresh air. We've got to tell the truth. He asked the question, how many of you remember President Romney? How many of you remember President McCain? How many of you remember President Dole? Well, you don't, and you don't because those men didn't stand on principle. I know that Ted Cruz is a lightning rod, but I also know Ted Cruz. I've been in a room with him on several occasions. I mean, it's not one of those things where I can say I know Ted Cruz and Ted would walk up and say, hey, who are you? Ted and I, I'm one of those fortunate people that knows Ted Cruz. I know the man. I can tell you without a doubt that Ted can win over the Reagan Democrats. Ted can do it. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. He doesn't speak with partisan tone. He is a constitutional conservative. He speaks of all the things that Reagan spoke about, that everyday people, low-information voters, mid-information voters, people that don't run in the circles that you and I run in, believe in. And we can do it. We know we can do it. We did it in 1980. We did it in 1984. Every race we've lost because we had someone who didn't stand on principle. They were willing to equivocate on their principle.
Well, I have believed for a long time that, it's very easy to see the Democrats win election after election at the federal, the state, and the local level, and to understand that the Democrat Party in this country for a very long time has actually been a coalition of all kinds of disparate groups. And a lot of people, if you saw the Democrat National Convention in the summer of 2012, the shots of the floor to me looked a lot more like some kind of a UN third world convocation than it did a meeting of a major American political party. And a lot of people, I think, in the GOP look at that Democrat sort of big tent idea and they begin thinking, aha, that is the way to win elections. And frankly, as Ronald Reagan once said, one political party cannot be all things to all people. We have to stand for something. And when we stood for Reagan's principles of conservatism is kind of a three-legged stool. There is defense, there is social conservatism, and there is fiscal conservatism. And now we have a lot of people, I think, in the Republican Party that are saying, we only really need one or two of those legs. We don't need all three of them. I disagree with that. I think when we put all three of them into effect, we will win elections. What do you think about that?
Well, I think think that it's, I think the Republican establishment, I think Rez Priebus, I think they're wrong. And I've got the proof to back it up. What happened when they rammed Mitt Romney down our throat? They literally rammed, in fact, Texas primary 2012, we in Texas, we have 155 delegates, Duke. We are the cash.
A lot.
If you don't win Texas, you just, now, we went to a modified primary because our primary fell prior to March 31st. But because the Democrats took us to court because of redistricting, you see, in I guess every state, but I'll speak for Texas, the most important years to win the state house are the years that end in zero, when we have the census. That's when we redistrict. That's when we gerrymander. So we redrew our lines. The Democrats challenged us. Well, it was in court, tied up. 2012, our primary came along. We were tied up. We couldn't vote. So our primary moved beyond the March primary date that we had scheduled, which would have made us a proportional primary. Depending on your percentage, you got a certain percentage of our 155 delegates. But if your primary fell after March 31st, in other words, on April 1st or beyond, you could be winner-take-all, which we've always been. We go into our primary. State Ministeri, our state GOP, wants to take us back to winner-take-all. Rez Priebus in the national GOP said, nope, you're not going to do that. Or if you do, we're going to penalize you half of your 155 delegates. Now, the reason they did that is because they wanted to ensure that Mitt Romney became the nominee. Had we went winner-take-all, Texas would have delivered the nomination to Rick Santorum. He would have been our nominee in 2012. Whether he would have won or not against Obama is a different story. But the fact remains that they forced a candidate down us that approximately 50% of the party did not care for. So what happens? We go to the general election and a good chunk of our people sit at home because they don't want to vote for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, that's pretty clear that that's what happened. And, you know, I kept exhorting people and saying to them, okay, he is not Ronald Reagan. But guess what? You're not going to get another Ronald Reagan. And, you know, if this is what we need to stop Obama, this is what we need. And people just said, no, he isn't Ronald Reagan. I'm not voting for him. Well, we paid the price, right?
Yes, we did, and I agree with you. I mean, I held my nose and voted for Mitt Romney. I guess only time will tell whether or not people made a mistake by not voting. But it is what it is, and it's behind us. What we've got to do is we've got to move forward. Now, let me give you some good news, Duke.
Okay.
You know, I'm a typical Texan. I'm very pig-headed. I'm very vocal about being a Texan. So when I say this, people will say, well, he's just being a Texan. But it is the truth. As goes Texas, so goes America.
Largely, I would agree with that, yes.
If we go blue or purple, we won't see the White House for a long time.
If ever.
That's not going to happen, though, and let me tell you why. We just had our primary this last Tuesday. Now, you know, there's an outfit here. It's an offshoot of the Obama election campaign called Battleground Texas. Their headquarters is right here in Tarrant County. The reason their headquarters is right here in Tarrant County is because Tarrant County is the reddest state in the country. If these folks can motivate voters to get out and turn Texas at least purple, they can change history. They had everybody snowed. Let me tell you what happened on the primary. For the Democrats, on their primary this last Tuesday, they had 517,000 voters statewide show up to vote. 431,000 of those voted for Wendy Davis. She lost 7 of the 14 counties in the Rio Grande Valley to a pro-life Democrat. Wendy Davis is not the rock star. They didn't motivate their base. Texas ain't turning purple, let alone blue. We had 1.5 million Republicans show up for the primary. So, you know, you take a look at the 50 states, 23 of them have Republican governors, 28 of them have Republican houses. Those states are all, you listeners, take the choice of the states that are blue and broke compared to the states that are red and prospering, which model works best?
Well, it's, you know, at the very least, it is obvious that there is just not as much enthusiasm amongst Democrat voters in Texas as there is among Republican voters. And I am hoping that that's a good sign.
Well, I am too. And I mean, am I worried that Wendy Davis is going to win the governorship of Texas? No. I'm not going to fight any less harder. I'm going to fight just as hard. We got to take every candidate serious. But if Wendy Davis loses by anything less than 13%, I'll be surprised. Bill White got more votes than her in the Democratic primary in 2010 than she got on Tuesday. So, you know, I think Democrats are largely disappointed in Wendy Davis. She had her 15 minutes of fame in her pink shoes, but our next governor will be our sitting Attorney General Greg Abbott. Our next lieutenant governor will be a senator out of Houston that I support by the name of Dan Patrick. We now know that our comptroller will be Glenn Hager. Our attorney general will be Kay Paxton. Our railroad commissioner will be Wayne Christian. Our land commissioner, George P. Bush, which I'm not real happy about that. The Tea Party is alive and well in Texas. We had 3 Supreme Court justices that were challenged from the middle by the Karl Rove wing of the party. We defeated them hands down. We put Tea Party candidates in almost every county criminal court, every justice of the peace court throughout the county. We replaced a half a dozen moderate Republicans in the House of Representatives, which I'll expand on in just a minute. We replaced John Corona, a lifelong the most liberal senator in the state of Texas Senate. We replaced him with Don Huffines. We've got another Senate challenge that has went into a runoff that we're going to win. Taking the House, not only have we made gains on our 2012, but now we've got a half a dozen more Tea Party grassroots conservatives in our House of Representatives, which means that we are now, and we've already launched, in fact, I launched it last night, and it's already up to about 1,000 people. Scott Turner for Texas Speaker of the House, so that we can oust Joe Strauss, who is a very liberal Republican out of the Hill Country that appoints Democrats to various committees. We are going to finally be able to oust him with our 84th legislature. Texas is about, in January, Texas is going to shock America.
I hope so. I hope so. And, you know, when Texas does those things, Michael, you can almost feel the liberals gnashing their teeth and wailing and whining and crying and complaining. And when I hear that, I'm a happy guy, because there's nothing in the world that I really enjoy seeing as much as I enjoy seeing a liberal in misery, because they brought so much more misery to everybody else.
Well, let me tell you something about Scott Turner. And, you know, I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican. You also know that I hate to play identity politics.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, absolutely.
I am tired of being called a racist. I'm tired of being called a misogynist. And I'm tired of being called homophobic. I'm done with it. I've had it. Scott Turner, former NFL player, who is the House representative out of Frisco, Texas, here in North Texas, is one of the strongest, conservative, most Christian men you will ever meet in your life. He's into his second term in the House. We're going to make him Speaker of the House. Now, you realize this is Texas.
And
right?
Do you know this fellow personally?
Yes, I do. And,
what's he like?
He is just a very strong, grassroots-oriented, Tea Party-oriented Christian conservative that believes in limited government, and he wants to do what's right for all people, not just some people. And Duke, this man is African-American, and we're going to make him the Speaker of the House in Texas.
Well, that is a good thing if he is a conservative, patriotic American who loves his country. I couldn't care less what color the guy is. I was joking and kidding with some people earlier today. I want to have a big sign made that says, if you don't vote for Ben Carson, Alan West, or Herman Cain, you're a racist. Okay?
Well,
and people are throwing the race card. It's the only card they have left. And they're going to keep throwing that race card. And I'm tired of it.
I could care less what ethnicity he is. I care about his character. But the only reason I bring that up is because when we make this man, and I'm a part of this, I created this group, and it's within 2 hours, it grew beyond belief. He threw his hat in the ring early in the year. When he becomes Speaker of the House, I'm going to tell the Chris Matthews and the Rachel Maddows of the world to kiss my lily white butt.
Okay. I can guarantee you they're going to find some issue with this man. They really despise Ben Carson. They hated Alan West so much that they gerrymandered him out of the seat that he had won fair and square in Congress. Do you remember the things that they were trying to do to Alan West a couple of years ago to try to destroy him? Someone had gotten a letter that he had written to his wife while he was in combat overseas. And they tried to hold this up that, Colonel West calls himself a conservative, but these are the things that he can't wait to do with his wife when the two of them get behind closed doors when he comes back home. Guess what? If a man and a woman are married, as long as nobody gets hurt, they have the absolute right to do anything they want with each other behind closed doors. That's the way I look at it.
And see, Duke, that's the point I'm trying to make. It's the left that are the racists.
They are
the racists, but how do you paint your enemy? You paint your enemy as what you are to deflect from yourself what you truly are. They have to make conservatives and the Tea Party out to be racists. There's a reason for that. But yet they fail to look at who are the people that we most admire. Thomas Sowell, C.L. Bryant, K. Cole Smith, Supreme Court Justice, help me out.
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas. Look what the left did to Clarence Thomas.
Unbelievable. It was unbelievable. They were as incensed by the fact that Mr. Justice Thomas was nominated. They didn't know what to do. He was a conservative. He was a Catholic conservative. They hated him. Ooh, did they hate him? And that's what the left does. That's what they do. They're all about hate.
And we don't love these men or women because they're black. We love them because of the content of their character, as Martin Luther King said.
Just as Martin Luther King said, you're exactly right about that, Michael. That's the way I look at things. Anyway, we are getting close to the bottom of the hour. Let's take a break here, Michael. I'll be bringing you back in just a couple of minutes. Always a pleasure, my dear friend. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, coming to you live from CPAC 2014 in National Harbor, Maryland, which is right outside Washington, D.C. If Linda or I were to walk down to the end of the hallway on our right, we would be able to look at the Potomac River. It is really a spectacular facility. Just a tremendous place, and we are having a wonderful time here. This time next year, I think our whole company is going to be up here. It is going to be great. Now, think about one of the worst things that can possibly happen to you, other than having to live in a left-wing state. I think that identity theft would come to mind. I mean, it's got to be horrible. Can you imagine? You faithfully pay your bills, you keep money in the bank, you have an account in good standing. One day you go to the ATM, you're overdrawn. The next thing you know, you're getting notices that that these bills are not being good. That's identity theft. That's what happens. If it does happen to you, and I hope it never does, it might take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. A lot of people can't. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. You know, LifeLock is an awful lot more than just a standard kind of run-of-the-mill credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information with a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There is really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the LifeLock banner. You will be glad you did. More with Michael Berryman coming up in your call, so don't go away.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All right, welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com live from CPAC 2014 in National Harbor, Maryland. I'm joined once again by my partner and a Sunday host, Michael Berryman, from deep in the heart of Texas. I meant to mention to you, I met and spoke with Tom DeLay earlier today, Michael.
The hammer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, if you're a well-known political conservative, you were here. I met Daryl Issa yesterday. He seemed like a great guy.
Yeah, well, I've never met Daryl. We're friends on we're friends on Facebook, but I love what he does.
Yeah, I agree, and I certainly hope that he decides to make sure that Lois Lerner is brought back in there and that she answers the questions that she is really bound to answer. And the fact of the matter is that the liberals in control of the administration...
Well, you know, I don't think the Washington Companies is going to participate, but hopefully that happens.
I'm sorry, Michael, say that again.
Am I breaking up?
Yes, you are. Yep. Michael, sadly, you are breaking up, so all righty. All right, well, maybe Michael will call back because he is breaking up, and I don't think that that is his fault. I think it's just a question of location. We should be hearing from Robert Garding, who is the host of the New Wise Conservatism Show here on conservativenationmedia.com any moment. Robert's show is on the air Saturday afternoons at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Central. Always does a great job. But in any event, the conservative bona fides of the people here are not open to question. It has been a wonderful couple of days here. We will be back tomorrow. Let's go ahead and speak with Robert. Robert, welcome aboard, my friend. How are you doing? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this
Who's
is Jennifer.
This? Hey,
this is Jennifer.
Jennifer,
how you doing?
Jennifer, I was expecting Robert Garding, but frankly, I am just as happy to speak with you. How are you doing, hon? How are things down there in the Magnolia State of Mississippi?
Oh, man, everything's rocking and rolling. A typical Saturday night on the square here in Oxford. Or, excuse me, it's actually Friday night.
Well,
so how are things at CPAC? I can't hear. I can barely hear you.
Things are beautiful. Yes, yes, I know. It's it is a little loud here once in a while. We do have Robert Garding on hold. However, you've got a new show debuting on our network on Thursday, and you're also moving the Tuesday edition of Grit and Grace. Isn't that right?
That's right. Yep. So it'll be Graceland. We'll be at 9 to 10 p.m. Central Time on Thursday night, starting this Thursday night.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All righty, we will be listening to that, and I do want to get to Robert, and your signal is a little bit weak, Jennifer, so you and I will be speaking again very, very soon, and thank you so much for calling in, my good friend.
All right. Talk to you next week, dude. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Bye-bye.
All right.
All righty,
bye.
Robert. Welcome aboard from the Hoosier State. Robert, how are you doing, pal? Welcome to CPAC 14. Robert, are you there? I wish I knew what happened to Robert.
Okay.
Robert,
you there?
Was there. There he is. Okay, I hear him now. Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Weather here has finally warmed up, so things are starting to look up here.
All right, outstanding. What is on tap for tomorrow's edition of the New Wise Conservatism?
Well, I've been kind of looking at all of the stuff with Darrell Issa and questioning old Lois Lerner and her talking about how she had to invoke the fifth. And my idea on that one is if she invoked the fifth that many times, she had to have been doing something very wrong. And she was just admitting it that way. Of course, that's just me.
Yeah. I think I may be with you on that one. So the New Wise Conservatism, as usual, will kick off tomorrow, Saturday, at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock Central. And I know that you are going to have a whole raft of great audio because you always do.
Well, so far I haven't gotten any of that recorded, but I'm working on it. I finally got somebody else to do my intro, which me to do, Kathy.
Yes.
Kathy Hinders is doing it for me.
Oh,
so
terrific.
So I should have that tomorrow. She has one. She said she's going to try and get it to me tonight. So if I can get it tonight, then I'll have it on my show tomorrow.
That's outstanding. Kathy is great, and she normally has occupied the Friday slot here at Conservative Nation Media, and she is on kind of a work-related leave. She is going to police departments all over the country and trying to educate them about the Mohammedans, and I think that that's a very, very good mission. So I look forward to hearing from her again, and I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow afternoon as well, my friend.
Well, I am also trying to get her on my show as a guest, too, so we can maybe get
good.
Some stuff on Muslim Brotherhood stuff going.
Outstanding.
So,
you know, there was one of them here today. I went outside for a smoke break earlier, and there was a British girl that was standing there, and I was just chatting with her, and it came out that she is a correspondent for Al Jazeera. Now, I believe in the First Amendment, but I think that Al Jazeera and the culture whence it comes is a very, very serious and mortal enemy of this country, and I guess I just don't believe that we should allow them on the air, but that's just me. Anyway, thank you very much for calling in, my friend, and I look forward to speaking with you again very soon.
Okay, you have yourself a lot of fun over there.
Thank you very much, Robert. I'll talk to you real soon, pal.
Okay.
All righty.
Robert
Garding, great guy, great Hoosier. Actually, originally, he's from Colorado, but I do want to bring my friend Kevin Wade on board right now. Kevin, how are you doing, pal?
Very good, Duke. Glad to be with you. And speaking of Hoosiers, I was just at a dinner with none other than J.D. Menear, who is a congressional candidate for a congressional district that includes much of Indianapolis. And he's a great conservative and patriot.
Yes, he is. He's going to be on Robert's show, The New Wise Conservatism, not this coming, not tomorrow, but next Saturday, and I think it's going to be wonderful. Now, you've spent an awful lot of time here at Radio Row yourself. The Reagan dinner is letting out right now, by the way. There are an awful lot of people walking past us. But what your feelings, you're even more optimistic about the future of the conservative movement in America than I am. Isn't that right?
No. Well, I can't say how optimistic you are, but I'm very optimistic.
Okay.
The conservative movement is united on common principles. Oh, we have 101 differences. I don't want to minimize that, but at the core of the conservative movement are fundamental principles that we all share. You go to an event such as CPAC, and you see thousands and thousands and thousands of people who want to get involved because of what they want to give to their country, what they want to give to the future. Whereas if you go to an equivalent assembly of, say, hard-left liberal progressives, you'll see thousands of people who are involved because of what they hope to get from the country. That's the fundamental difference. And those who are willing to give in comparison to those who are eager to get. I know what side I want to be on. I know which side I think is going to carry the day going out into the future.
Well, as you and I have agreed, and I think if you ask anybody this question, any American, what is the most well-known phrase that President John F. Kennedy is known for, that will certainly, hands down, obviously be, ask not what your country,
ask what you can do for your country.
And
now use that as a benchmark
to
see how far the Democrat Party has drifted from its bearings.
That is exactly correct. And it is an amazing, I don't know how the Democrats got where they are today, but the fact of the matter is they are literally a threat to the future existence of the United States. Now,
I'm going to disagree with you there. When you say Democrats, I don't include Democrats that live on my street or sit in the church pew behind me on Sunday. These are conventional Democrats who have a love of country, believe in a strong America. They will differ on some elements of policy, but they love their country as much as you and I do. But the Democrat Party at the top, those who call the decisions, who make the big decisions for the rest of the Democrat Party, are hard left liberal progressives. And they don't share the values of people on my street or on your street.
Well, you're right about that. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that people who are involved in party leadership, people that might be described as opinion elites, people that set trends and things in terms of thinking, and people that run for office are more passionate about politics or other things, issues, whatever you want to call it, than the average American is, which is why they are involved in those things. But it is very, very frightening when you have people like Dennis Kucinich, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, people of that nature who have their hands on the levers of power in this country. Harry Reid, obviously, there's no other way to describe him. He is a bad person. He is a bad guy. Nancy Pelosi is a bad person. I can think
but let's
of
go back to the John
ones.
Kennedy reference, Duke. Let's go back to the John
Absolutely.
Kennedy reference.
Sure.
Okay, he won the Navy Cross. He won the Navy Cross. He was a warrior.
He was a war hero.
Person, and he was a
yep.
cold warrior as the President of the United States. I don't think in his day he would allow someone of the caliber and class of Nancy Pelosi to be in the room with him. That's
no,
the difference
I
in
absolutely
leadership.
Agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I think that, you know, where these new Democrats come from, who knows? But, you know, the fact of the matter is there's no way that somebody like her would have ever been allowed anywhere near the JFK White House unless she was on a tour.
I think there is much to be gained by having an honest conversation with your neighbor about the state of the country and the state of its leadership, even if the neighbor is a registered Democrat, because chances are they're a lot more like a JFK Democrat than they are a Barack Obama Democrat. And if you have them look at what they really believe and what they've supported through most of their life, I think it's very easy to get them to kind of wash their hands of the present liberal progressive masters of the Democrat Party as it is, and maybe vote more toward the middle of the road. And maybe that middle of the road, if they took a really close look at it, is a little bit right of center.
Well, I hope that you are right about that. And I really hope that after a couple of years of the current administration in this country, the president's polling now has dropped to an all-time low. At this moment, he is at one of the lowest approval ratings of any president in modern history. And, you know, frankly, I think that is going to wash over into the midterm elections, which are taking place only about 7 months from now. So we'll see what happens.
Let me ask a question. I think a lot of your listeners can relate to this.
Sure.
I think all of us at some point in our good faith and trusted fellow man have found that we have been cheated by someone. I mean a blatant cheat.
Yeah.
Something that was sold to us that wasn't anywhere near as described, someone who broke their word and a word that was important to us at the time. When that happens, do you ever somehow reconnect with the person who lied to you? And the answer is, in most cases, no, never. Fooled
yeah,
once,
that's
shame
right.
on
in most cases,
okay?
Yeah.
Shame on you. Fooled twice, shame on me. So
yeah.
I don't think that as the leader of the liberal progressive movement, and I'll call it a radical and extreme liberal progressive movement now that has hijacked the Democrat Party, when the leader of that party lies on behalf of the entire circle of leadership directly to everyday Americans across this country, I don't think everyday Americans are going to turn back to liberal progressivism in a long, long time. It's a bitter pill they've had to swallow.
Kevin, I hope you're right about that. You know, I really am. I hope that you are right about that. And time will tell. At least I'm optimistic about it. Kevin, I've got a full board right now, but I will, if I don't see you later on this evening, I'll see you for breakfast tomorrow morning, pal.
Thanks so much, my friend. Have a good evening.
You too. See you soon.
Bye.
All righty. Kevin Wade there on conservativenationmedia.com. This is Radio Free America. Live from CPAC 2014, Michael Berryman will be joining us in a moment. You are live on the air. Who's this?
This is Bing, Duke. How you doing, man?
Hey, Bing. What's up, pal? How are you? Thanks for calling in. Welcome to CPAC.
Well, I'm not there, but you're there, so, you know, I'm
hey,
calling
it's vicarious,
in on the cell phone,
you know?
Here, so hopefully I'm getting through. But, you know, good show, great show, and, you know, I'm glad you're meeting some great people and that kind of thing, so keep up the good work.
It is absolutely wonderful, and Michael and I discussed earlier today, this time next year, my friend, we are all going to be here in person, and that obviously includes you, so start making your plans, okay?
Oh, definitely will. I also wanted to get a plug in for the rally that we're going to have here in Tennessee, if I could, real quick.
Oh, yeah, the Defend the Constitution rally on April
yes.
24th. Go ahead. Talk about it. Let's hear about it.
Actually, it's going to be April 25th to the 27th, and we're going to have a lot of great speakers, conservative-type speakers and libertarians, and we're going to have some great music. It's in Waynesboro, Tennessee, and you know, everybody's invited, and we also are looking for sponsors, so if anybody wants to sponsor the event, we would very much appreciate that. It's like American by Design. It's on Sundays from 5-7, and the number there is 462-380. I'm sorry about that, but yeah, and we're also not this week. This week I'm going to talk about probably some other things relating to Tennessee directly because I'm in that state. And then next week I'm going to have Colonel Harry Riley on. It's organizing the Operation American Spring, and so we're going to get him on. So that should be a good show.
Give us that Defend the Constitution rally website again.
We're hitting Google pretty good, so if you type in Defend the Constitution Rally, you should reach our page. It's defendtheconstitutionrally.com is what it is.
Outstanding. All right, Bing, my good friend, thank you so much for calling in, and I look forward to hearing from you again on Sunday afternoon on American by Design with Bing Fisher, 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central, correct?
Yeah, you got the East. Yeah, I by Central, but you guys are weird over there. So you got
yeah, I understand that.
For
I understand.
And remember, we change the clocks back or forward, actually.
Forward.
Hour,
so. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We're all going to lose an hour of sleep on Sunday morning, but hey, it's going to be light out later or darker or whatever it is. I don't know. But in any event, thank you for calling in, my good friend. And I look forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you, buddy. All righty, let's bring Michael Berryman back in. Michael, we only have a couple of minutes left in this edition of Radio Free America, but welcome back, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for sorry, Seldrock. I'm going to defer my time to introduce a friend of mine and yours both, Duke, a gentleman that actually started this venture with me back when I was Kane Nation Radio. That tells you how far back we go, Duke. I would like to, if I may, I'd like to defer my time to Jay Craig, a good friend of ours that I hope we can actually get back on the air with us, Duke. But he is a grassroots guy like me up in Kentucky trying to get Matt Bevin in over Mitch McConnell. So if you would please welcome him for your remaining few minutes, I would greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Michael. And, Jay, welcome aboard, my friend. It's nice to speak with you.
Nice to see you, Duke. How's it going over there at CPAC, man?
Well, I tell you what, I can't wait until next year when our whole company, and I hope that includes you, is going to be here. We'll have a permanent position at Radio Row. It is going to be wonderful. And how are things right now deep in the heart of Texas?
Well, that's actually I'm in Kentucky, but things here in Kentucky are going phenomenal. We are getting behind Matt Bevin, who is obviously running against Mitch McConnell here in our Republican primary.
Yeah.
And that's basically what I wanted to call and touch base on. Kentucky voters are starting to wake up, and Matt Bevin's message is resonating with many Kentucky voters finally. We came all the way back from 52 points down to 20 points down now, and the latest polls have us polling above Allison Grimes, the Democrat, and it has Mitch McConnell trailing Allison Grimes. So we're making some headways here. We're engaging and persuading voters with each event that he holds here, and each person that he talks to, whether it's independent or true Mitch McConnell supporters, we're slowly turning the tide. So we really think that we can get behind this thing and do the impossible and tackle the Goliath of politics in Mitch McConnell on May 20th, 2014.
Well, you know, I think Mitch McConnell, he is a Republican, sort of, but the fact of the matter is he has been there for too long. Orrin Hatch is a Republican. He has been there for too long. John McCain, well, he has an R after his name, but he has been there for too long. These dinosaurs that have been in there for 40 years, et cetera, they have to go. I don't care what party they're a member of.
I agree 100% with you. John McCain took over the most unpopular senator this past week over Mitch McConnell. That's not to say that Mitch McConnell was moving up in the ranks, to say the least. He's been hovering around 27 to 31% approval rating his entire time in Kentucky these last several years. So people are definitely tired of him, and he's never had a primary opponent until Matt Bevin has come around. So he is dishing out the attack ads every day here in Kentucky, and people are not listening to it. They're waking up to Matt Bevin. So if everybody could go to mattbevin.com and learn more about him, his message has resonated here in Kentucky. And he was actually at CPAC this morning. He was on the Wayne Dupree show, and a lot of people got to hear Matt and got to see and meet him.
And Duke and Jay, if I just may jump in, everybody came to the aid of Ted Cruz from across the country in 2012. I am asking personally, everyone listening to this show, all of our friends, everyone that believes in liberty, everyone that loves Ted Cruz, Matt Bevin needs the same help that Ted Cruz got. Ted Cruz wouldn't be where he's at without the help of patriots across the country. It wasn't just us in Texas. It took us all. If y'all want more troops in there with Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and Rand Paul, Matt Bevin needs the help. Jay Craig, that website is again.
Yeah, it's mattbevin.com, and everybody can get a hold of me if they need any inside information or some more, you know, they need it pointed in the right direction, or if there's anybody that wants to volunteer, whether it's phone calls, if they're in Kentucky and they want to reach me, you can reach me at Twitter at ConservJ, ConservJ. We are, like I said, we are turning the tides here in Kentucky. I mean, we are persuading and engaging more and more voters every day. We're knocking on doors,
all right,
taking phone calls. But as Michael B. said, it's going to take support and the help of a lot of people outside of the state as well. And we'd like to get people behind
okay
us.
All right, gents. Great talking to you. That's going to do it for this episode of Radio Free America live from CPAC. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Thanks for being with us.